Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
Good morning, Waukesha. Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, America. I am delighted to be with you again this morning. This is our third show in the month of June. Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. We're once again here in the studios of WAUK in downtown Waukesha. Beautiful downtown Waukesha today, and delighted that you have decided to spend some time with me and also with Connor here in our in production studio talking about the significant issues of the day. This is a weekend review of the important stories in law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. Once again, I'm so pleased that you're spending some time with us in discussion of some very significant issues coming up and some things that have happened in the recent past. We've got a very aggressive agenda, and hoping that you will also spend some time calling in today at 844-967-2789. Pleased to be with my friend and colleague just a few moments ago, Don Paul Brown, in his program this morning talking about all good things happening in Waukesha. We're going to be chatting again about things happening in America, in our state of Wisconsin, and beyond. And so let me talk first about the syllabus for this morning, what our plan is for this hour and then the second hour as well. This morning we're going to begin, we're going to follow up on our first conversations in our first two shows talking about, the United States Supreme Court. You may recall well that in our first couple of shows, we chatted about guns, this case called Bruin coming out of New York. And we chatted also about the upcoming decision to be rendered by the United States Supreme Court in a case that likewise is going to change America, we suspect, and that case is Dobbs. We're going to be spending some time talking about the environment, chat about religion, and also talk about immigration in the second portion of our first hour this morning to fill you in on some additional cases likely to be decided as soon as perhaps this coming week, maybe in the weeks just ahead. And then the second hour, we're going to turn to the January 6th Commission, the committee that's looking right now at what happened at, around, before, and after January 6th. Do some big takeaways on those, and once again, inviting your calls not only on the Supreme Court case issues, but also on the importance of those hearings. What's ahead, what is behind, as we look forward and backward here in the United States of America and right here in the state of Wisconsin. Every morning I've been beginning our program by talking a little bit about history, things that have happened on the day that we're getting together to chat, to have these conversations. And today is no different, although today, rather than talking about a number of different things that happened, for example, on this day in history, on June 18th in the past, I'm going to talk about just one because it also is a good tease, if you will. It's a good invitation to our second hour as we're going to be chatting about the behavior, the conduct of a former administration, a former president in our nation's history. But I'm going to go back 50 years ago yesterday, and yes, indeed today, 50 years ago today, we were waking up to some news about a curious event that happened in Washington, D.C. Let me set this up for you and talk about what happened on June 17th and in particular June 18th as we began to discover as a nation a significant event that changed forever the course of American history. It was 50 years ago yesterday and 50 years ago today that a 24-year-old security guard, his name was Frank Wills, again, changed the arc of American history. About an hour earlier, about 2 a.m. or so, on Saturday, June 17th of 1972, Frank Wills, who was a security guard at a particularly significant building in Washington, D.C., noticed and dutifully removed a small piece of duct tape had been placed over the lock of a door that he was required to check on during the course of his reviews and his walking through this building. That was a part of his morning routine. He didn't make too much of it then. He thought maybe that duct tape was there because it was some vestige, the leftover of an effort to accomplish with speed and with ease some routine package delivery that early morning or maybe earlier in the evening. He reacted differently, very differently. When about 45 minutes later, he returned to that same spot, the same spot that he had been earlier, and discovered that someone had replaced, had put more tape on that very lock that he had previously been visiting, looking at, and removed the tape from. supposedly, according to his story and certainly the story of the police that morning, Wills appropriately, urgently called the police. It says something is wrong here. Something is very amiss. He had his security telephone at the main lobby of this building. Summon the police from the nearby second precinct. He perhaps knew them well because of his work as a security guard in this particular building. And upon their arrival, those law enforcement folks came upon Mr. Wills, talked with him about what he had found, and immediately began to shut down the power to the elevators in that building, locked all the doors to it to keep any early morning intruders from accomplishing an escape. While the police were there, while Wills was also with them, responding to this curious thing with the tape on the door locks. And so throughout the entire time of Wills' tenure as a police, a law enforcement person responsible for the safety of this building, there had been only one other instance that Wills could catalog was an attempted burglary. Any other significant event probably he didn't recall well, and his assignment was otherwise pretty sleepy. Well, fairly routine. But this particular discovery that particular morning on June 17th and into June 18th changed his life, changed our lives. And Wills, along with these police officers, were accompanying each other as they went door to door, room to room throughout this building, and tried to figure out who was in the building, who was improperly there. While some of the aspects of the police report differ somewhat from place to place and reporter to report, the reality is that Wills had come across something very significant. He said this later on, when we turned the lights on to a particular room that they finally came upon in this building, one person, then two persons, then three persons came out and down the line. That was Frank Wills, early morning Saturday, June 17th, and then also into the 18th of the following day. To that stirring account of his attentive work that night with the other police officers, we add and we know now the names of the people who came out in this attempted burglary on that very early morning. And we know their names. We know they're a part of history now, not a good part of American history. Their names were Bernard Barker, Virgilio Gonzalez, Eugenio Martinez, James McCord, and Frank Sturgis. And you're probably getting a sense of what this is all about just by virtue of their names. Wills and the other law enforcement officers who were responding to all of them did a couple of things. They were taken into custody. That is the folks coming out of this particular room that they were in. And they confiscated from them a great deal of materials, some products, some things that they were using. And that include a bugging device, some camera equipment, some film, lock picks, a series of numerically sequenced $100 bills, and all of that would become very significant in terms of what was about to happen. Wills quite literally changed the course of American history. We'll get back to exactly what he did in just a moment, but there's a story behind Wills as well. Wills, as a result of what happened that early morning, the day that followed 50 years ago, right now, Wills had asked his supervisors, he had been a good employee, and after his long-standing history, he sought a raise. He wanted a raise from his basic rate of $80 a week. Today would be about $500 or so, and that was regrettably denied. And so Wills left that security position and spent many years following in an unsuccessful pursuit of stable employment, quite frankly. And Wills confirmed that later on in his life. He spent some time in our nation's capital. He had a security job at Georgetown University. He went to some other southern cities and eventually the Bahama Islands as well. And ultimately, he relocated in North Augusta, South Carolina, where his mother was, his family was. He very lovingly, according to his own reports and those of his family members, lovingly cared for his mother following her suffering a disabling stroke. And through his early middle age, Wills planted and nurtured a very expansive home garden with his mother. He went to the local library to pursue his academic interests and sort of reveled in the quiet company of his cats. In 2000, right before that, he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and Frank Wills died on September 27th of 2000 at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta at the age of 52, much too young. But he did change. He did indeed change American history. on the occasion, the 20th anniversary of, yes, you know what I'm talking about, the 20th anniversary 50 years ago today, but on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the abortive break-in, and yes, that's right, at the Watergate Complex on the shores of the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., Frank Wills said this. He said he would do it all over again. And when he was asked about his motivation, why he was doing what he was doing on that early morning and into the day of the 17th and 18th of June, he said, you know, that's like asking me if I'd rather be a white man or a black man. It was just a part of who I am, he said, just a part of destiny. Everybody tells me I'm some kind of hero, but I certainly don't have any hard evidence of that. I did what I was hired to do, but still feel a lot of folks don't give me the credit for what happened that night and didn't give me the chance to move forward. That was Frank Wills on the 20th anniversary of the Watergate break-in. And then we finish up this reference to history and our own American history, again, that changed a presidency, changed the course of our own national livelihood. New York Times offered perhaps the most eloquent description of Wills' role in American history in saying that eulogy was delivered by United States Representative James Mann. He was from the 4th Congressional District of South Carolina. Upon his vote as a member of the House Judiciary Committee to remove a sitting president, yes, we know that's Richard Nixon, a vote to remove him from office to return articles of impeachment for what turned out to be the Watergate scandal in 1972, 1973, and years that followed. And James Mann, in giving this most eloquent description of Will's role in American history, said this, "If there was no accountability, if there was no accountability," Mann said, "another president will be free to do as he chooses. Another president will be free to do as he chooses. But the next time," Mann said, "there may be no watchman in the night." History, history, making event 50 years ago, these days, right now. And so we hearken back to that time in our nation's history 50 years ago, the Watergate scandal and the things that happened. We're going to talk more about that in the second portion of our time together this morning. Right after the break, we're going to get back to the United States Supreme Court, talk about their activities coming up. We're taking your calls also at 844-967. This is WAUK in Waukesha, the Shaw, 540 AM, 101 FM. This is Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.